So I did a little calculation, and you know, Kevin and Dan and Kyle have been leading us through this series on the book of Nehemiah, and they successfully got through 6 chapters, leaving 7 more chapters for me to hit today. All right? So you ready? You comfortable? This is going to be great. I want to bring you up to speed on where we're at in the book of Nehemiah. You guys hopefully remember the story. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes from Persia, and the Jews had had a long period of exile, and they were in exile to Babylon, and now they were returning to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem had a temple, but there was no protection for the city from further attack because the walls were broken down. They're in disrepair. So the people were living in distress. They were living in fear, and so Nehemiah wept when he heard this. He was so moved because he cared so much about them. And he decided, all right, God's given me a mission. He's given me a vision. I'm going to go. I'm going to lead his people to rebuild these walls. And the last 3 weeks, we have seen how God has come through. The first time, Kevin told us about how God hears. He hears. So when he gave that vision to Nehemiah, he heard his cry, he heard his tears, and he allowed him to go. This king, who was probably the most powerful king in the known world at that moment, allowed him to leave his service. In fact, gave him resources along the way because God hears. And then we learn that God remembers because adversity came. Battles were fought. Opposition was faced. And then through that, God did not forget his people. And he led them through the ups and downs and he remembered them. And then we learn that God also refines, that in the context of this whole building of the wall, God didn't just care about the objective, he cared about them. And he was faithful to grow them in character in the midst of this battle, in the midst of this project. And now we get to chapter 6. It leads us to 6, and I'm just going to read out of verse 15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And when all the enemies heard of it, all the nations around were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And so there's this moment where God finishes this work. That dream that started so long before in the heart of Nehemiah that God had stirred up was brought to completion. He did the work. He doesn't just hear and remember and refine. God finishes what he starts. And we see this in this book. He finishes it. And everyone around recognizes, okay, God did this. It was his hand. In fact, they all thought less of themselves because they compared themselves to this great work that God had done. And there's this moment where it's completed. And I feel like this is kind of similar to where we're at right now, right? This is the last Sunday we all have together before the school year is officially over. And we started this year with a lot of dreams, didn't we? A lot of ideas, a lot of vision, a lot of dreams, some mission. And we've experienced quite a bit of stuff. Haven't we experienced God do some pretty amazing things? I've been reminded of that this week. In our individual lives and as a church, you know, we began the year praying about the idea that the gospel would ring out from this place, that the good news about Jesus would ring out on this campus and in this city. And just last week, right over at Neal Avenue Baptist, we had the opportunity to watch 13 more people get baptized and testify about new life and testify about how God had done something amazing in their lives. And then later, the next day, we all got together for Overflow, right? Who was at Overflow? It was awesome. I don't know if you realize, but Overflow, we had all those videos and they went on forever, right? There were so many of them. That's because there's so many teams now. Our dream was that we would multiply these little H2O teams to every nook and cranny of campus. And now there's like 18. Is that even right? I don't even know. Is there 18? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I don't even know the names of them all. I'm like, is that a team? Okay, wow, they have a video. They must be a team. And it was this moment to just stop and be like, whoa, God has moved. We were praying for things and God did it. He is moving. He has done beautiful things. And it's similar to just like here in Nehemiah, they're staring at this beautiful wall. And I'm reading that passage and I'm thinking, okay, so now what? What's next? Right? What exactly are the next seven chapters going to be about? I thought this thing was about a wall. We're going to build the wall. The wall is built. How are they going to wrap this thing up? What more is going to happen? What comes next? And it's easy to look at this book and to be tempted to think that's the point of the story. The story is God put on someone's heart a vision for a wall and then he built it. Isn't that cool? Or it's tempting to think, oh, well, this is about a guy who had such great faith and it's about his courage. But it's not about those things. It's actually about way more than those things. The story isn't over yet. Because God has even bigger things in mind. And I want to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 8 to give you a little bit of picture of what's next. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who can understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. Whew. Early morning till midday. You ever think I'm going too long? Think about that. Hours in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So here's the picture. They finally build this wall and they gather the people together and they take out God's word. They take out the book of the law and they say, hey, let's read this. And he starts reading for hours and everybody is totally locked in. Do you imagine that? They're like, this is awesome. Okay, God's word. This is great. The book of the law. And later it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Isn't that a cool picture? So they were engaged in this project, they faced adversity, God did it, and then they took out God's word and they shared it. And people were not only listening, they were engaged with it. They were emotionally involved with it. They were responding to it. They were worshiping. They were worshiping. And guys, this is a pattern that we'll see in Scripture. Over and over and over again, God moves. He does something amazing. He fights a battle. He blesses people. He demonstrates his power. And then, as a result of that, people worship him. They're drawn to worship him. Why? Because life is not about a wall, right? Life is not about the blessings that we get. It's not about new H2O teams or the ministry or your classes going well, your finals, the great summer job you just got, the ways God has interceded and looked out for you and given you grace, that's not the point. Those are all beautiful gifts. They are beautiful gifts. And the purpose of them is to point you towards the giver, the one who gave them, the one who showed his power, the one who blessed you. And that's what they're seeing right here. Ezra steps up and he reminds the people about their Lord, about their king. And you think, well, okay, what's the big deal? Well, it's hard to do that, isn't it? So often for us, it's easy to get caught up in what we want from God, what we want him to do for us. It's easy to stare at the wall and think, oh, this is great. Ah, what a wonderful wall you've given me. That's what I want. And we forget about the one who gave it to us. You guys may be in that moment right now. What a great education you have an opportunity to have. What a great privilege to be here. What mountains had to move so that you could be in this place studying what you study. And yet right now, instead of worshiping God, oh, it's like, I got to get through this test. This is the worst. God, just come through. I know I don't know this, but maybe you could make me know it. Build that wall, Lord, build that wall. And he does, doesn't he? Hasn't he given us way more than we deserve? There are questions you're going to answer, and you'll be like, I can't believe I got that right. And if we just leave it at that, we're missing out. We've got to take the next step, and the next step is to realize the blessings of God point us towards worship of him. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is Psalm 67. God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us, which is a little self-absorbed, right? That's how it starts. And then it says this, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Bless us, let your face shine upon us so that you would be glorified, so that your name will be famous, right? And that's what's happening here. This is so cool what you did, God, because we worship you, we honor you, and now other nations are doing it too. Isn't that cool? That there's a bigger picture. You know, many of you are in right now this season of blessing, the season of realizing what God has done, maybe in your life, in your spiritual life this year, in your relationships. Maybe you're graduating, you're passing your finals, God has moved and blessed you. These are the moments, these moments where God has done something great, these are the moments where we should stop and turn our attention to the Lord and worship him freshly. What's next? What's next after the wall is worship, that we might turn and worship. Then it says this, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy. And do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they understood the words that had been declared to them. So you see this picture of they're hearing God's word and they're worshiping and then they're weeping, they're mourning, they're kind of in awe of God and they're humbled by God and they're weeping. And then Nehemiah says, hey, don't do that. And he shares one of the best phrases in the entire Bible. Eat the fat. Eat the fat, people, and drink sweet wine. Eat the choicest meats. Enjoy your life. Celebrate. Why? Because this is a day that is holy to the Lord. Think about that for a minute. If I said to you, hey guys, this is a day that is holy to the Lord, so we're going to have some special activities, what do you think we'd be doing? Like, well, we'd probably fast, right? We'd have to fast, and we'd have sackcloth and ashes, and I mean, we wouldn't even be thinking about wine, all right? He said, because the day is holy, eat the fat, which is such a great phrase, eat the fat. My wife and I just went to the Worthington Farmer's Market yesterday, and we're walking around, and every booth was like, you know, no gluten, no sugar, nothing evil, you know, all organic, nothing bad. And we're just walking around, and it was like, wow, this is the healthiest food ever made. And we walk by one guy that was selling bison meat, and he's like, oh, you know, bison meat's the best. And he handed me this thing. He's like, bison meat has no fat. So all these other meats have fat, and you're going to die, but bison meat will sustain you forever. And I remember looking at it, and I was like, okay. And so I kept walking. I just remember thinking, I like fat a little bit. Like, don't eat a little bit? I love that phrase, eat the fat. That doesn't, how does that jive with your view of God? This day is holy, so celebrate. This day is holy, so enjoy it. When you think about this wondrous thing that God has done and you think about his glory and his power, you can celebrate. Isn't that a cool thought? It's good to celebrate. It's good to stop and celebrate. What's next? What's next is worship, and what's next is also celebration. And we see this all throughout Scripture. In fact, God often reminds us that we have to celebrate. He instituted feasts and festivals for the nation of Israel so that they would remember what he's done and to celebrate it. And sometimes I think we're not very good at that. But guys, celebration honors God. Do you realize that? When you stop and you celebrate, it brings him honor. You know, my 8-year-old daughter, she had a birthday a couple months ago, and my other kids are getting older, so their birthdays are, you know, they're more aloof. They're like, oh, that was cool, thanks for the present, that's great, I'm a teenager. But my daughter's 8, so everything you do for her is like the best ever. And of course, this birthday was particularly epic because she got her own Barbie house that I assembled. I didn't build it, but I assembled it, which was hard enough. It has like an elevator on the outside and a little balcony. And when she saw it, she was so delighted. And that look on her face was basically the look on her face she had all day. Everything we did, she was so pleased and she was so thankful and she was so delighted in. And it brought me a lot of joy. To give your kid something great and to bless them and to see them delight in it, to see them celebrate it, it actually felt honored. I felt respected. I felt loved by her because she delighted in what she got. It honors God when we look at our lives and we say, God, you are so good. This is crazy good. I'm going to eat the fat today. Don't drink the sweet wine if you're not of age. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate because God is so good and he is so set apart. He is so different. And we see that here. I just want to ask you guys right now, where are you? I know you've got finals. You got stuff to do. Could you in the next week, could you at some point just take a step back and say, you know what, I'm going to celebrate what God did. And I know some of you had a bumpy road. I know some of you had ups and downs this year. But I guarantee you, every single person in this room has something to celebrate. Every single person in this room has something that they should be thanking God for and be a little bit in awe that he has brought about in your life. And to just stop and say, this is so good. Because I know what you're thinking. Well, I get this finals done, then I got to get a job. I got to get my internship. Then I got to make money. And I got to do this. My summer plans. I got to have goals too. I should have goals for everything. And it's like, just dial it down for one day. And say, I'm going to celebrate. Because God is good. And what's really cool is we see these people, they engage with God's word. And they're excited about worshiping him. And then they celebrate. And God is doing something like a revival in their midst. And a little bit later, they start realizing, we want to repent. We want to be devoted to God. In chapter 9, it says this. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in the place and they read from the book of the law for a quarter of the day. And for another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped. And the rest of this chapter is them just praising and worshiping the Lord. It says, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all its hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And it's really interesting. Right at the end of the chapter, it says this. Because of this, we make a firm covenant in writing. On the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. They come together as a community, they worship the Lord, they celebrate, and it draws them in to a deeper devotion to him. That they feel this fresh encounter with God causes them to be even more devoted to the Lord than they ever were before. They want to give to him. They want to honor him. They want to serve him. And that's the point of this, right? The series is called Building Strong. Ultimately, it's not about strong walls or strong ministries or strong relationships or strong marriages or kids or strong performance in the classroom. All of it is pointing towards God and through his power and his grace, us having a stronger devotion for him, that we might worship him, know him a little bit more, and be more strongly devoted to him. Because he is the one that is worthy. He is the one we should give all the best of our honor and our praise to. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to stop this morning, just momentarily. I know you got a lot of studying to do later. But we're going to stop, and we're going to take a page out of Nehemiah's book. And we're just going to respond to a great year. You know, when Jesus was with his disciples, he gave them a practice. It was the practice of communion. He said this, on the night when he was betrayed, says this in Corinthians, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And what's interesting about this practice is all three of the things that we touched on this morning are really part of it. It's an act of worship, right? It's a recognition of God's power demonstrated on the cross. It's an act of celebration. Celebration for what God has done for us. The celebration of new life. The celebration of the fact that he's going to come back. And it's an act of deep devotion, of intimacy, to remember that Jesus died for us so that we might be forgiven. And it's a proclamation that we are followers of him. So we thought this would be a great way to end our school year by just doing this together. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. And they're going to play a few songs. And what I'd like to do, are they coming back up? The worship team is now going to look confused by my words. Okay, they're coming back up. And we're going to worship. And while they're playing, I just want to encourage you guys to worship Jesus in your hearts. Maybe even reflect on this year, how God has moved. See this as an opportunity to thank him, to celebrate together the goodness of God. And then at some point during the songs, we invite anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, we just want to invite you to come. Feel free to come up, take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. I think there's a gluten-free area. Where's the gluten-free? Someone just point to it. It's there. Gluten-free is over there. So if you need gluten-free, feel free to go over there. And we want to do this together as a community because God has done something wonderful in our midst. And so we want to worship him. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much that we don't have a wall, but we have just a year filled with amazing things that you have done on our behalf, through this community, on this campus, in this city. And Lord, we want to thank you for giving us the privilege of watching you work. And Lord, we want to look at this year and have it draw us into giving our full attention to you, the one who gives all the good gifts. And Lord, we just tell you we want to worship you, and we want to honor you, we want to celebrate you for all that you are. And Lord, we desperately want all of this to draw us into a deeper devotion to you. We ask in Jesus' name.